He's competitive. I mean, he's one of the most competitive players in the league, and, you know, he kind of spoke this into existence. I mean, a guy that he said he wanted us. You know, he has us starting next Thursday, and, you know, he's a guy that brings it every single night. So, you know, with how, you know, the finals went down last year, you know, if I were in his shoes, I'd want the same thing. You know, when they're rolling, things are going his way. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's highly spirited, and yeah, he fights. The whole underdog thing is funny to me because, yeah, at the end of the day, we are defending our title. We're trying to repeat, which is so hard to do. But, no, I mean, I think we will use it as fuel, we will use it as motivation, but as far as the idea of, like, playing into it, you know, it's tough for me to say that is the case. I mean, I don't feel like we're underdogs. I think we match up well with them, and I think they say the same about us.
Kevin Love talking about Draymond Green, some comments he made leading into the game to start the drama. But let's be real. The truth of the matter is the NBA season starts today. We've been waiting all year. It finally starts. There are two teams in the NBA. Well, good morning. It is Sunday, and welcome to another edition of Out of Line on the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. I'm Brian Feldman, and today I will be joined in studio by my good friend and Lotus Broadcasting's sports talk number one pinch hitter, Chris Wynn. And joining us today also, Hall of Fame producer Bobby Machado here in place of Magnum. Found that out at the last minute, so I didn't get a chance to hook Bobby up with our log and all the other stuff. Leave him hanging in the dark. Hopefully we'll get him going. But, hey, we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports studio in Las Vegas, and you can find us right here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. We're also streaming live on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at @OutofLine1340AM. And we do have a Facebook page, which has lots of pictures on it. So go ahead, give it a like, give it a follow. We appreciate that. It is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, pick up the phone. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, as I said, the NBA season finally gets underway, and the league's only two teams will begin battle today. But at last, we should finally see some real basketball. I'm actually looking forward to it. The NHL finals are also here, and this year's playoffs might be the best I have ever seen. And being that I'm from Detroit, and so is Chris, otherwise known as Hockey Town, and my Red Wings, we're not in the playoff this year for the first time in like a quarter century. That's saying an awful lot if I say these are the best playoffs I've ever
like
seen.
I feel like Goose from Top Gun, where I should say, your Red Wings.
Yeah,
our Red Wings?
Well, our Red Wings now that you're in the studio. Dude, usually yes. It's me because Magnum, they're definitely not his Red Wings. That's for sure.
You know what I'm talking about
from
Top Gun.
I do.
The Goose.
Hey, and since I can't get through a day right now without hearing a LeBron James, Michael Jordan debate as to who is the best of all time, I thought, since there hasn't really been anything to talk about sports-wise so far this weekend, I mean, nobody cares about the Indy 500 anymore. 101st Indy 500, nobody cares. Come on, nobody cares. They really don't. So I thought we'd have a discussion on who our favorite players of all time are in their respective sport. And Chris Wynn, Bobby can chime in, and I also want to know, maybe both you guys, for this one for sure, I'd like to hear everyone, the most iconic athlete of all time. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But any sport, doesn't matter, who to you would be the most iconic athlete of all time? I know we've got a few in mind, that a couple come to mind right away, but it's an interesting conversation. And we are also going to be joined a little bit later on by poker tournament director at Binion's in downtown Las Vegas, And he's going to talk about the dog days of summer poker jam, which is going on at Binion's, kind of, rivaling or offsetting the World Series of Poker. It starts this Friday, and it runs through the second weekend in July. And we'll also do Blazin' Fact This, and, of course, the Las Vegas 51s report. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft, beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Well, Chris, you know, got to start off. I mean, you can't get through without talking about the finals. You got the NBA finals, the NHL finals. You heard Kevin Love. Of course, Draymond Green made some comments. And, you know, this debate is bothersome to me. It's been bothersome forever because it's so hard to compare people of different eras. We've done this in so many sports right now. But, of course, everyone now, because he's passed him up, all-time playoff record, LeBron James, they're now saying he's better than Black Jesus, Michael Jordan. And, I mean, is he better? Because you forget, he came in the league right after high school. So that gave him two more years than Michael right off the get-go. And Michael took 2 years off. There are 4 years lost in Michael Jordan's career when he would have been in his prime that he didn't play in the NBA. So give him four more seasons. He won, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, six NBA titles. Is that right for Michael Jordan? LeBron's got three. I don't know, man. I mean, it's really tough for me because I grew up hating Michael Jordan, being a Piston fan, but respecting the hell out of him. And now I'm in this debate that this guy, this kid who was a man-child at 18 years old, came right into the NBA and had an impact. And now with what he's done, I mean, there is no question he's the best player on the planet today. And how much below him is the second best player? Maybe Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry. How far below? What's the gap between LeBron James and the second best player in the league right now?
Well, that's a tough question because LeBron James is still in his prime, in my opinion. Look, he might be on the back end of his prime, but he's still very much a dominant player that has an opportunity to boost his resume. You had a couple questions there. One of them being, of course, is the Michael Jordan, LeBron James debate. And to me, I think it's pretty much ludicrous. Now, look, we work in sports radio, so it's great to get a chance to kind of debate that. And you're talking about two of the greatest players of all time. There's no question. But there's been a lot of people that have been chiming in the last couple of weeks on this issue, and people with a lot of merit. And Scottie Pippen is one of them. Look, like you, I'm a Pistons fan, so I've never been a huge fan of either Michael Jordan or LeBron James, no question. You have to respect what they've done as players. They've been unbelievable. Larry Bird's pretty much in the same boat as far as me. I mean, you have to have all the respect in the world for guys like that. But when it comes to comparing Michael Jordan and LeBron James, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They're two completely different players. They play two completely different positions. When you think of LeBron James, you think of a guy who makes other guys on the court better. He's a facilitator. He's someone who stat-wise, is, from a consistency standpoint, you would think all around as a player is more dominant than Michael Jordan. Yet on the other token, you're talking about Michael Jordan, who, in my opinion, the greatest scorer of all time and someone who is flat out been the most dominant basketball player in the history of the league, and that includes Wilt Chamberlain and some other guys in the league. So I think comparing him is a little bit difficult for me. If I have to make a choice, though, I have to choose Michael Jordan because I just believe Michael Jordan, if he played in today's game, in today's era, with the rules that are in place, he would absolutely
shine.
Average 40 plus a game.
Well, and some other, maybe a little bit much, but I know what you're saying.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and look, there's other hosts on our shows here that have talked about this. Michael Jordan would just be absolutely unstoppable from an offensive standpoint in today's game. So, you know, the comparisons to me, I think it stops with Michael Jordan still being at the top, and LeBron James is going to be in the mix when you mentioned the top five guys. But that being said, LeBron James still obviously a supreme player in today's day and age.
Oh, you know, LeBron James is on the Mount Rushmore of basketball. Yeah. Let's be realistic. And he's not retired yet. And as you said, I think there's two or three more years left in his prime, provided his body doesn't break down because he doesn't take games off like a lot of the other superstars do. I'm going to ask you something in a minute and put you on the spot here with the series between Cleveland and Boston, because I hate saying this kind of stuff, Chris. I do. But I'm sorry. Game three of that series was fixed. And wow. I've said, it's a terror. Come on. You know how much revenue? They said over $10 million was made by that game being played in Boston. By then, hey, that farce on Thursday night in Boston, over $10 million in revenue was generated from that one game. You tell me the NBA did not want that game going on at Boston to get a fifth game out of it. Because everyone was saying, oh, it's such a terrible series. There's such a discrepancy between these two teams. It's horrible. And then Boston wins a game in Cleveland to show. Shut everyone up for a second. It looked like LeBron didn't try. I know Michaels had a game. People forget. He had a game in the Eastern Conference final years ago where he went 2-for-20. It does happen. Everyone has off nights. That looked like the only way I could describe that game, Chris, was it reminded me of Space Jam. Like the aliens came down and took the ability out of LeBron James for that one game. Come on, man. Something stunk in that game. No, the more I think about it, and I recorded it and watched the replay again, because all you got to do is go to LeBron James and say, dude, don't try today, okay? And they'll lose. They'll probably lose. Boston, you know, don't try today and make some mistake. He turned the ball over like twice in that game that was like by himself, like almost tripping over his own feet. What do you think, man? Do you think, you really think he laid that big of an egg and didn't care that much that LeBron James could actually physically play that poorly? I don't know, man.
Look, Feldman, I admire your passion, my friend, but I got to tell you, fix, that's a strong word,
it's
bro.
It's a strong
look,
word.
This is a situation, you know. And yeah, are we shocked at what went down in Game 3? Absolutely. You're looking at a Cleveland Cavaliers team that was rolling, that was superior in so many ways. And you have a Boston team reeling without Isaiah Thomas injured.
On the road in Cleveland.
And you ask yourself, how do they find a way? They're down 20 points in this game. All the numbers from a gaming standpoint are completely against the Celtics, right? You go on, if you wanted an in-game bet on this, you would have made all kinds of money. I talked to a couple people that went out on a limb, did the old Boston money line before the game, didn't put a lot of money on it, but they put some cash on it and end up knocking out a W in that one. So, yes, it was remarkable that the Celtics were able to come back after being down that big in that basketball game and win it? Absolutely. Do you have to? You ask questions about why the Cavaliers, after having the lead, somehow find
so
a way to
take?
Bounce that away?
You skirted it all around.
I just cannot put it in my mind, and I just cannot fathom that the powers that be at the NBA or anybody on the Cleveland Cavaliers, whether it be the coaching staff, the players, would be involved
Adam
in anything.
Silver's a
with
patsy.
Any,
he
with
could
any,
get talked into
Brian,
anything.
With any type of shenanigans going down, I just can't see it. Look, both teams lace up their shoes the same way. We talk about this all the time. Use that analogy. The teams, they suit up the same exact way. They're professional athletes. It happened, okay? The Celtics came back game three. They got their W in that series, and that was it. Cleveland Cavaliers,
and somehow
by far the
Boston
best team. They go on, win the
game.
Series.
Oh, come on.
You're making a stretch, my friend. I'm not going to lie to you.
Of course it's a stretch. I'm just saying that it is amazing. When I heard the revenue that one additional game generated, it's staggering. And you think to yourself, this shouldn't have happened. They were up 20 points at home, and LeBron James completely disappeared from that game. Non-existent. Like I said, it was Space Jam-esque. I'm leaving it there. And real quickly to end the argument, I want to talk about the NHL before we go to break, and we got to do this. I want to stay on track. But LeBron James, you know what it is? All these numbers and everything, Chris, I throw them all out the window. It's the eye test. Something about watching Michael Jordan play and watching LeBron James, I agree with you 100%.
We've both seen them in their
eras.
In
today's NBA, you put Michael Jordan in there, he would be the best player in the league right now, as good as LeBron James is. And again, when they went up against each other, they wouldn't be facing each other. They're not guarding each other. I just don't know. LeBron James may be a little bit better of a defensive player than Michael Jordan.
See, you're trying to make the comparison, though. I already told you. You can't do that.
Leave it alone.
You can't compare the two players.
NHL, you heard my boast on the NHL. I said that I feel right now to this point, it has been the best NHL playoffs in my memory in my lifetime, where I have seen so much. To see Ottawa and Nashville get both to the conference finals and be the bottom dwellers in their conferences to make the playoffs. And then you've got the powerhouse. You know, there's only been two sweeps in the series, and one of them was the Predators sweeping the Chicago Blackhawks. That's amazing, Chris. It really is. You will never see that in the NBA. You will never see something like that, because you can't have a hot goaltender in the NBA like you can in the NHL. That's really what makes the difference. Pekka Rinne is absolutely unbelievable. He's impermeable. When you use that overused analogy, a wall, he's playing as good as anyone I've ever seen. As good as what's his face? Jonathan Quick played for the LA Kings. He is.
Well, this is the deal on the storyline with the Stanley Cup Finals, is you've got a team that's looking to be the first repeat champion, I believe, since our Red Wings, back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So you have that storyline. You got Matt Murray, who's playing pretty well, you know, despite the fact that, you know, they switch over goaltenders basically in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they still end up
both really good.
Winning the conference. Now you've got also a Nashville team there, right? And now they're kind of like the darlings of the NHL. Everyone's talking about the fans there in Music City, how everyone's juiced up and how it's an opportunity for the Nashville Predators for the first time, by the way, in the Stanley Cup Finals. And if they win it, it's their first ever, obviously.
So cool.
So you've got that. Cool. You've got the angle of the first time team ever with a team that's a perennial Stanley Cup contender in Pittsburgh with you know, arguably the best player in hockey on the team. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see. It, obviously, with the Nashville Predators, you've got the emotional boost of a PK Subban as a leader there, and someone who has playoff experience, and some other guys who've also won cups on that team, despite the fact they haven't won it with that team. So to me, it's going to be a lot of fun to see that whole dynamic of, you know, the Music City fans, that Nashville team just trying to get over the hump, and, of course, the Pittsburgh Penguins trying to be a part of history if they can knock out their second in a row.
No, it's so cool. Yeah. And the Game 7 was just indicative of how the Stanley Cup Finals have been. Game 7 between Ottawa and Pittsburgh. What a tremendous double overtime. You couldn't have asked for more. And that's what the theme of this Stanley Cup playoffs have been the overtime thing. So many games, one goal games, going into overtime. Just everything you want to see. There has been no comparison in the NHL and NBA playoffs. I can only watch a half of the NBA playoffs, and I'm either falling asleep or I'm thinking about throwing up. And in the NHL, I don't want to miss anything. I'm like running in between periods to get my meal, my sandwich, so I don't miss anything. It's that exciting.
Well, hey, it's indicative of the NHL playoffs this year, right? But it also goes to show you it's only a matter of inches, this game in the NHL playoffs,
really,
right?
Is.
You're talking about two teams going down to the Game 7 to overtime, right?
So cool.
It takes a shot that screen, you know, the goaltender. You think Anderson's been playing, you know, been standing on his head in a lot of these games. Yeah, he had a couple of bad games also, but he's been playing great.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden, you've got a shot that goes up over your shoulder, you're screened on, and your team is going home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close it was between Pittsburgh and Ottawa. You think about it.
Well,
you know, it's right down
away.
The wire. Either one of these teams could have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals, but it just happened to be a scenario where the Penguins get it done, and now they're moving on to take on the Nashville Predators.
I mean, you have David and Goliath again, but I'll tell you right now, you know, if you're Pittsburgh, their whole game plan is, how the hell do we beat Pekka Rinne? How do we get the puck past this guy?
It's not David and Goliath, because the Nashville Predators are getting all kinds of respect.
Well, of course, yeah, but I'm still saying, no, I'm saying you right now, if I said the beginning of the playoffs, let's go back a month and a half, said, Chris, the Stanley Cup Finals are going to be the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. You said, Brian, what?
You're out of your mind.
What are you smoking? Seriously, what are you
smoking?
Absolutely
nuts.
Because there's no way. Listen, we will be back. He's Chris Wynn. I'm Brian Feldman. Bobby Machado behind the wheels of steel. This is Out of Line.
Well, he was my hero as well, which makes me one of hundreds of millions on the planet, particularly for those of us born in the post-World War II era and who lived through the 1960s. The 60s were a decade which in many ways belonged to Muhammad Ali. And that unofficial title, the greatest, can be debated in a variety of ways, but to me, there's no question on one simple pretext. Try to think in your mind right now of any athlete, male, female, in any sport on the planet, who you think would give up 3 years of their life, 3 years at the height of their competitive and money-making power for a socio-political principle. How many other athletes would do that? None. There was one. There was only one.
Yeah, truly one of the, when you talk about iconic athletes, and it's a great segue into what we're talking about now, Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay, was absolutely one of the most iconic figures in my lifetime and probably beyond. And he's someone that will live on forever when people talk about the sport of boxing. That was Jim Lampley talking about Muhammad Ali. But, Chris, kind of segueing into what I wanted to talk about today. And before I do any of that, I want to congratulate Jeff Hoppner, who I'm pretty sure is out there listening today, a listener of ours who won a entry into a Binion Saturday tournament. And yesterday, him and I ended up at the final table together when Jerry Benitatos is on in a little bit. We'll talk more about that. But, yeah, it was kind of cool to have me and a listener. That's never happened before. In the 3 or 4 years Binion's have been sponsoring us, a lot of people have won, but I've never ended up at the final table with someone that's won. So it was actually kind of really cool. Nice guy, and congratulations out there, Jeff, if you are listening. Pretty cool. So talking about what I want to talk about, Chris, is just get your opinion on, you know, athletes. It was what got me started on this was the LeBron James and the debate with Michael Jordan. And also Mark Anderson put something on Facebook about a week and a half ago about all of his favorite athletes in each sport of all time and who were his favorites. And so I thought, how cool is that? It's just a great subject. And like I said, this weekend, you know, I'm really pissed at the NHL. They lost an opportunity. They should have had game one last night and jumped in front of the NBA, had game one last night, got everyone stoked. It's a Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend. We don't get anything on Memorial Day weekend till Sunday. It was a great weekend if you're a sports fan to take a vacation because there wasn't crap going on this weekend. There really wasn't. Baseball, your generic stuff, but really nothing. So I just thought the NFL, the NHL missed an opportunity to jump in front of the NBA. I really do, because they both had plenty of time off. Thursday was the last game. Saturday, you get a 2-day rest. Punish Pittsburgh and give Nashville an opportunity. But anyways, it made me start thinking about who I like and the greatest players. So in each sport, just quickly running down. And I, you know, it's funny because I think we're going to have a lot of similarities because we're from Detroit. And it's okay to be biased. If you're not biased, you're not a real sports fan. Like my favorite football player of all time, I think he supersedes Detroit, but it's Barry Sanders. There's no question in my mind. I loved Walter Payton. I love Jack Lambert of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I go on and on about all the guys that I liked. But if I talk about my favorite, he played for the Detroit Lions, and I got to watch him play live a lot of Sundays at the Pontiac Silverdome, and he mesmerized me. I've never seen anything quite like Barry Sanders physically live. It was in my lifetime, so he's my favorite.
Oh, there's no question. And quickly, look, a point of reference for everybody is going to be their hometown or where they're from as far as, right, like, their favorite athletes, because that's, you know, who they grew up watching. So that is the fun part for me, getting a chance to see everybody's list and who it is that they root for. Now, when it comes to the NFL, I don't think there's any question as far as, you know, our point of reference with me and you. We're pretty much around the same age and had a chance to see a lot of NFL players at their prime and performing. And Barry Sanders, without question to me, was one of those guys who you can use all the analogies you want. I would pay to see him. Spectacular from an athletic standpoint. Just the most fun as far as an NFL football player to watch. And, you know, it's not just us. I mean, there's people that are fans of other teams that mentioned Barry Sanders as their favorite player. And so that's it's understandable why he's on the top of a lot of people's lists and why he's on the top of both of ours.
Have you ever seen anyone in your lifetime, Chris, highlights anything? Gale Sears was the closest to me with his running style, except Gale was a little bit longer, that had the stopping and starting ability of Barry Sanders. That man could stop at a time. He's the only player, to my knowledge, in NFL history that ever blew out a guy's knee and they never touched each other. Rod Woodson of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rod was playing for the Steelers at that time before he went to the Ravens at the end of his career, and he went to make a tackle on Barry Sanders on the sidelines. Sanders stopped. Woodson went one way, his knee went another, and Barry Sanders left him in the dust, and Rod Woodson was laying on the ground flopping around like a wounded dolphin. And Rod Woodson blew out his knee without ever touching Barry Sanders. True story, and I don't know that anyone else has ever done that, but that is the ability that Barry... Everyone remembers that game in Dallas, the playoff game where he ran behind Tony Casillas. Casillas is standing there, where the hell did he go? And he runs right behind him. You never knew. He filled up the Silverdome, Chris, every weekend because you never knew when you were going to see something truly amazing that you've never seen before and may never see again.
Well, think about it this way, Brian. How many times have you flipped on YouTube or you know, the highlights and seen his runs? And how many times are you just absolutely blown away by what he's been able to do? And another thing that also is pretty much a telling thing about Barry Sanders is what his colleagues and what people who played in the league against him say about him as far as the defensive players and the comments that they make. And yes, I mean, the runs are absolutely unbelievable. I happen to be in attendance. I was covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in 1999 when Barry Sanders had two touchdown runs over 90 yards in a game against the Buccaneers, against the likes of Hardy Nickerson and some quality defensive players. And they were absolutely spectacular. Yes, he's had runs that you just don't see other guys make, whether it's Gale Sayers, whether it's, and that's another thing too, by the way, the guys that he played with in his era, the Emmitt Smiths, right? Obviously Walter Payton towards the back end of his career.
Very, very talented.
You look at them and you compare them and look, Emmitt Smith, unbelievable statistics. He's going to go down as the NFL's leading rusher of all time as of right now. And Walter Payton, smooth as silk, a very electrifying athlete in his own right, but they're not in Barry Sanders' category. And so that's what kind of sets him apart as an NFL football player, and that's why he's at the top of a lot of people's lists.
Well, no question about it, and I said this for a long time, Chris. Had Barry Sanders played another 3 or 4 years, which we know he had the ability to do, Emmitt Smith, he would have never been an Arizona Cardinal. He would have retired 3 or 4 years before he did because he would have never caught Barry Sanders. It would have been a moot point, and it sucks that we have to have this debate with Emmitt Smith lovers because, come on, be realistic. Again, the eye test. Do you really think Emmitt Smith is better than Barry Sanders? And if you do, well, God help you is all I can say, because you're wrong. It's just that simple. You were wrong. I don't know what Barry Sanders would have done behind that behemoth offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys back then, because Barry Sanders, as you pointed out, Chris, there was never a better broken field runner in the history of the National Football League. So running in a broken field was his style. So in Dallas, he would have these gaping holes he wouldn't know what to do with. He didn't see those in Detroit. He created the opportunities in Detroit. How about when we go to Major League Baseball? I'm going to give you mine first because you're going to love mine. You know, realistically, the greatest player that I think I ever lived, I had an opportunity years ago, one of the greatest Christmases of my life. I got to spend a Christmas with Doug Harvey. A guy that worked for me a while ago, Todd Harvey, was Doug Harvey's son. Doug Harvey, the great longtime National League umpire. And I asked him, who was the greatest baseball player ever? And he did not even hesitate. And he said, say hey, Willie Mays. He said, Willie Mays in his prime, you could have got rid of the right and left fielder, and he could have covered the entire grounds. That's how quick he was. And he said it was uncanny to watch the crack of a bat and to see the jump that Willie Mays would get on a ball, just to know almost by the sound of it where it was going to go. So I would say maybe he might be one of the greatest all-around baseball players. But my favorite, you're going to love it. You know who it was? Al Kaline, baby. Oh, Al wow. Kaline of the Detroit Tigers. I played right field and had pride in right field. You always think, I played 10 years of semi-pro fast-pitch softball and traveled around the country. And right field was difficult as hell to play because they always got around late on the ball and it comes slicing out to right field. Plus, you had to have an arm to bring it in from right field. And I always took pride in it because Al Kaline and a guy for the Yankees named Lou Piniella played the crap out of right field. And because of that, I loved it. And I loved Al Kaline. I grew up, well, I also knew his son. I grew up playing baseball against his son, Mike Kaline, who played at Brother Rice when I was at Andover. So we got to play against each other a little bit. But Al Kaline, baby, and my number one baseball
player. Well, you're going to love mine, too, also, Brian, because you're a Michigan State guy, okay? And we're not talking about the greatest players of all time. We're talking about our favorites, Gibson. Right? So, I mean, look, if we're talking about the greatest players of all time, this would be a completely different list. But my favorite, of course, is Kirk Gibson, okay? This is somebody who I had a chance to watch play wide receiver at Michigan State when he was in college and saw the athletic ability there. And once he got onto the diamond for the Detroit Tigers back in the early 80s, and you saw not only the raw athletic ability, but just the heart. And he is kind of like Bryce Harper is described nowadays. He is going out there, and he's playing like it's his last Major League Baseball game of his life. That is his mentality. And look, the stats weren't always spectacular, but let's put it this way. 1988, the guy won a National League MVP with, hitting, I believe he hit 27 home runs, had about 95 RBIs, guys and hit about 295. But when the Los Angeles Dodgers was obviously the key cog in that team that ends up going on to win the World Series, he had a solid Major League Baseball career, despite the fact that he was never an All-Star, which was amazing to me as far as Kirk Gibson's concerned.
Two of the most iconic home runs in World Series history,
absolutely.
I think.
And, by the way, two World Championship teams that he was a major
big part of.
So,
well, the great home run
You know what I'm saying. He had the huge home run, obviously, in Game 5 of the 1984 World Series against Goose Gossage. After Sparky, famously said, he's not going to walk you.
And that home run in the ninth inning.
And then the home run, of course.
Game one really won the home run won the series for the Dodgers, and it was only game one.
And just the way that it was all set up, of course, with Vin Scully talking, look who's coming up, whole thing was spectacular. For me, it's number 23 with the Tigers.
I loved Kirk Gibson when he played. Unfortunately, I got to work with him at WXYT in Detroit, and I thought he was an ass as a person. And it sucks because I loved him as a player, but as a person, I wish I never had met him, put it that way, because I would like him more. Seriously, I'm just calling it what it is.
Yeah.
You know, guys that have the ability that you and I would die to be them, and he's an ass, and he just was as a person. How about NBA? Mine's easy. The best little man, in my opinion, to ever play the game. He has the same name as the guy who's playing for the Boston Celtics right now. Don't look at him as a general manager or coach. Look at him as a player on the court. Right behind Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, I say Isaiah Thomas and Dominique Wilkins helped revolutionize the game of basketball, and is part of the reason those guys cashed the big checks today. Isaiah Thomas came right after Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and he was the best little man that ever played. I would go and watch that guy go to Piston games just to watch Isaiah, almost for the same reason I watched Barry play for the Lions. He was spectacular. The way he could maneuver and cut amongst the trees, like Isaiah Thomas, like his namesake, is playing for the. But he was better. Isaiah Thomas was unbelievable. He was a great distributor. He was a great scorer. And above all, he was a magician. He was an amazing creator, Chris. And he played defense. He did it all. He was a great player. And I'm still pissed off that he wasn't on the dream team because of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. That's another story for another time. But I'm going with Isaiah Thomas, my favorite basketball player of all time.
I'm rolling with the same team, but I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I'm going to go a little bit past Isaiah's era and Grant Hill with the Pistons. He was a guy who, I despised Duke University when I was in college. I was a big-time Michigan State fan, Steve Smith, that crew, Scott Skiles, all that. So I was nowhere near loving the Blue Devils in any way. But when Grant Hill came to Detroit, and the personality, the type of guy that he was, and the type of ambassador he ended up being, not only for the Pistons, but also for the NBA, and also his skill set, he was another one of those guys that I talked about with Barry Sanders, where, look, I would pay money to go see Grant Hill play. The versatility. He was a superstar. Make no mistake about it, okay? We would be talking about Grant Hill in the top 8 players of all time if he had not been injured, okay? That's how good he was. We're talking about a guy who had Scottie Pippen-type skills, but in my opinion, would have been a better player than Scottie Pippen. And his impact on the NBA, his popularity was soaring through the roof, Brian. If you remember, back those years between 1995 and I believe in 2000, before he went to the Orlando Magic and then the injuries started to pile up, we're talking about someone who was like just killing it as far as all-star votes. People loved him all over the country. It wasn't just in Michigan or in Detroit. There was fans, NBA fans, that were all in with Grant Hill as far as like his popularity. So to me, that's a big reason why he's my favorite NBA player.
No, I agree with you. I love Grant Hill. I thought he was the word when I use Grant Hill and when I've talked about him in the past, I've always said I think he is one of the most underrated, well-rounded players in the National Basketball League. Because he was, like you said, he had every element of his game. He was a superstar because he was able to play all facets. Defense, offense, score, distribute. He did it all. For a guy his size, he really did have an amazing skill set. Great, great player, and definitely a huge part of the reason Duke won back-to-back national titles. Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley were huge, but Grant Hill was a gigantic. And isn't he the one who threw the pass, by the way, to Christian Laettner, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, he was.
Hockey, we'll get hockey, and then we'll get our iconic player, and we got to take a break, so we'll do this kind of quick because we want to get to Jerry Benetatos. Mine's easy right off the get-go. You know what it is. And I'll just say this, and you'll know who I'm talking about. The captain. Done. End of story. Who am I talking about?
Steve Yzerman.
Stevie Y, baby.
Right?
Stevie
and look, there's been a lot of great hockey players with the Detroit Red Wings.
Gordie Howe.
From Michigan.
There
are a ton of... Yeah, Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, no question. Never had a chance to see Gordie play with the Red Wings, though.
Yeah,
later on in his career with the Hartford Whalers and teams like that. But Steve Yzerman came in. I was a young kid at the time when he was a rookie with the Red Wings. And clearly, for me, he was a superstar throughout his career, multiple Stanley Cup championships, and he was a major part of it, and an iconic figure without question in the city of Detroit that will live forever, basically, in Detroit sports lore for time to come.
No, with Stevie Y, when I say about this guy, Stevie Y, one word, heart. He was a superstar with heart. He absolutely loved the game of hockey, lived it, breathed it, sleep. It was all about hockey with Stevie Y, and he epitomized what Hockey Town's all about, and I think he helped give us the name because, God, 19 years old, and he played for 23 years in the National Hockey League, and the majority of them were playoffs. The vast majority of them were playoff years. You got the same guy?
Absolutely. Okay. Steve, not even a question.
Listen,
there's been a lot of hockey players that I've been fond of over the years.
I'm loving.
But when you're talking about Steve Yzerman, he encapsulates all that. Whatever you just said right now,
you know,
along
with
the fact
of
that the guy produced. He was one of the top five players in the NHL for a large number of years.
You know who reminds me of him a little bit, but he's better, is Connor McDavid. The same type of heart, but with just the reason he reminds me of him, Chris.
Yeah,
is
still a little young though.
The reason he reminds me of him is because of the skill set in his head. He is mature beyond his years, and so was Stevie. Stevie came in at 19 and was mature beyond his years. Mm-hmm. That's where McDavid, not the game, the maturity level of them coming in at that young of an age and playing and making an impact in the NHL so quickly. Real quick, let's go to iconic player, the most iconic athlete of all time. You go first. Who is the most iconic athlete of all time?
Most iconic athlete, or is it my favorite or most iconic?
Most, I not your favorite. Who you think had more impact as far as a sports figure goes? Who has had more impact than anybody in the history of sports? I'm talking history. I don't care if you go back to 1812 in the history of sports. Who do you think has had, as far as iconic goes? If you went to somebody in South Africa, tapped a little boy on the shoulder, and asked this guy's name, he would know him. That's iconic. You are known throughout the land. Not something you've done to make yourself great, but just iconic.
Wow, I have to go with Muhammad Ali. I have to, because just the impact, in the sporting world, but from a political standpoint, from a social standpoint in America, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that's had that impact in any other sport. And you think about anybody in the NBA, whether it be the NFL, there's people that have made strides and have been forces throughout. But when it comes to being encapsulating all of that from the social, political, and athletic standpoint, I mean, the guy was just unbelievable. The fact that he heavyweight champion for a number of years at the top, at the very top of his sport for a number of years, and also in the mindset of everybody, whether they be in politics or whether they be active socially throughout the world, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. It has to be Muhammad Ali.
Well, mine is, I think it's a great one. Muhammad Ali would be my number two. And as far as the impactfulness, as far as what he did and his boycott against Vietnam and what he did for his race, tremendous stuff. But as far as iconic, Chris, there's nobody more iconic than Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth is the most iconic athletic figure in history. You look at Babe Ruth died well before you or I were even born, and I guarantee my son knew who Babe Ruth was by the time he was 7 years old. There's still a candy bar that's famous, but it's not. Babe Ruth just will last the test of time because
the candy bar. The candy pulled bar. The candy bar line out, Bobby. Wow.
But I'm saying, for because of the way he looked, he would look at him and never picture him as being one of the greatest baseball players ever. But
you wouldn't picture him as being an athlete.
Anything.
If you look at him.
Look at his statistics. Over 300 batting in his career. Only two times did he not hit 300. The home runs that he accumulated, 714, barely shy of 3,000 hits. Not to mention, he won over twice as many games as he lost as a pitcher before he got into playing outfield and being a hitter. Babe Ruth is somebody that just was larger than life, and I think still is larger than life, Chris. And as much as Muhammad Ali was impactful, Babe Ruth was iconic. And that's where I have that. Listen, we got to take a really quick break. It's going to be a short one. We're going to come back with Jerry Benetanos. We'll try to squeeze it all in about 7 minutes.
¶¶
out of line. Brian Feldman joined by Chris Wynn today, Bobby Machado behind the wheels of steel, and on the phone, my good friend, the poker tournament manager at Binion's Gambling Hall, the place that put poker on the map, Jerry Benetatos. What's up, my good friend?
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Well, you know I'm so damn good I can hardly stand it, Jerry. What's going on? 2 weeks in a row, I get to the final table and chop for a win. You heard I did it again yesterday, right?
The poker gods are crying.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. Every dog has his day.
Well, the blind squirrel was out and he found a couple nuts.
Yeah, I guess so. Good for you, buddy.
Giving him grief, though, because he was at the final table. He's right there on the doorstep and he had the pocket queens and he didn't pull the trigger. Yeah. And I'm saying, hey, I know you're worried a little bit about the lady knocking people down.
Too many chips. Klaus even said when I got done, he goes, you laid down the queens. I respect that tremendously. It turns out she had jacks, though. But Jerry knows my luck. A jack would have flopped, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry, listen, I want to talk about Dog Days of Summer. It kicks off this coming Friday with the Heaven Can Wait charity event. It's called Heaven Can Wait Animal Society Poker Tournament. Check this out, Chris. It is really cool. Yeah. This charity, what they've done is they brought in $40,000 total, and they are guaranteeing $20,000 Friday night and Saturday. Only a $230 buy-in. First place is guaranteed $10,000. Okay, get $10,000, and it goes all the way down to 10th place. It's a $230 buy-in. And here's what Binion's is doing. They are taking all of the money that is going in right now that they're getting in, the $230, and they're taking $30 for the dealers in the house, and $200 goes every person that buys in or rebuys goes towards animal. They're stopping animals from getting euthanized. They're also making sure that animals get spayed and neutered so we don't. And she told me it went from like $30,000 like a year ago down to like $3,000 this year. That's the impact this group is at. So, Jerry, really, really cool event.
It's a great organization, too. If anybody's interested, they can log on to the hcws.org website. That's their website, and they can register right now online with them. We already have about 40 players for each day, Friday and Saturday, pre-registered. And if they pre-register, they're eligible for a $500 drawing. There'll be giveaways, their prizes, and everything else that the Heaven Can Wait Animal Society are putting together for all the entrants that show up to play this event.
Oh, that's really cool. I think the place you register, you can go, it's www.hcws.org. Again, www.hcws.org. And $500 bucks if you enter early. You could be sitting there at the tournament and get $500 handed to you, right?
That's correct. Yeah, they're going to have a drawing. And they can also come down and register with us anytime.
Well, good. I'm going to play Friday night. Saturday, I'm tied up.
A minute and 54 seconds.
There's Dick Vermeil letting us know we're about out of time. Jerry, you got 31 events going on, culminating with the main event that is going to go on. I believe it starts on the 25th of June. It's three starting days. Garrett, 60,000 in chips, Chris. Check this. Cool this tournament is. 60-minute levels, 60,000 in chips, and a guaranteed prize pool, Jerry, of what is the guarantee on that one?
200,000.
200K.
Yeah, we expect the price pool to be around 500,000.
I'm playing in that. I'm there all day long. Jerry Benetatos is the poker tournament director at Binion's. Great guy. Their Saturday 160 buy-ins are the best local tournament structure-wise, payout-wise in town, and it's not just because I won the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hey, also, just to let everybody know that there are going to be single table satellites available where people, if they don't want to pony up the $850, they can get in for as little as $150 single table satellites and win their way into the our main event.
Well, last thing I'll say too, you've got two. They've got three satellites to win your way into the Rio's main event too of the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, that's
three
correct.
Different
every
satellites
and they're players.
How much is the buy-in for those? 360, something like that.
365, and for every 34 players, we're sending a player to the main event.
I got to play in one of those, too, at least, and try that. Jerry Benetatos, appreciate you, my friend. I will see you Friday night for the charity tournament.
Can't wait. That's awesome, Brian, and congratulations. Keep the lucky streak going.
I need it, brother, from your mouth to God's ears. Right. We appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks.
Jerry, great guy. I love playing in those tournaments. You played a couple times. Gruzette had a great tournament.
Oh, it's outstanding. No question.
You cashed last time you played.
I did actually cash last time I played. It is the birthplace of poker, baby. Birthplace
it is.
Of the World Series, and it doesn't get any better there. A little Saturday night afternoon action, or Saturday afternoon and evening action. It is top-notch all around.
Real quick, I just wanted to mention my Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. We're out of time, but Blazin', the UNLV golf team right now is leading the national championship run. They're up by a stroke going into play. They're playing right now. They teed off this morning already. How cool is that? We're out of time. Yeah. I want to thank Chris Wynn. I want to thank Jerry Benitatis. Of course, thank Bobby Machado. Out of line, we're here every Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Check us out. Check out Twitter at Out of Line, 1340 AM. And, of course, our Facebook page is Out of Line on Facebook. Like and follow that. We'll be back next week doing the same thing, man, and rocking and rolling.
Shout out to all the troops and all those that serve our country. Absolutely. It's Memorial Day weekend.
All right, man. Out of line. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank the crowd tonight, the people of Las Vegas who were here and